Today, we will read Mark chapter 2. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord, I pray that today, as we read your word, Lord, speak to us. Lord, we want to hear your voice. We want to know what it is that you are saying to us so that we can hear, so that we can listen and obey and follow you. Lord, speak to us today. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 2. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Now, John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth to an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, The wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." All right, in today's reading, we see several stories. It begins with Jesus healing a paralyzed man. Now, when this happened, many people were coming to Jesus. He was surrounded by people, so many people wanting to come and hear him teach and bring their sick and demon-possessed and those who had problems, and he would heal them. And so it was so crowded that people couldn't even get into the same house where he was staying. So some men had a friend who was paralyzed, and they knew that their friend needed help. And so they brought him, but it was so crowded they could not get their friend to Jesus. But they didn't give up. Instead, they went onto the roof of the house and found a way to go through the roof in order to get their friend to Jesus, and then lowered him down through the roof. They were so desperate to bring their friend to Jesus. Are we that desperate to bring our friends to Jesus? We have friends who need Jesus as well. It may not be that they are sick and paralyzed, but their hearts are sick. Their hearts need God. Jesus is the only way to God, and so we need to bring our friends to him and not let things stop us. These men were so determined that they found a way even through the difficulty. And Jesus honored that and honored their faith by healing this man. Now, it's interesting that first, before he heals him, he says, "Your sins are forgiven." Why? Well, I think he is trying to make a point that the outward healing of a person is one thing, but that his real reason for coming is to forgive sins. That is what is more important. That he can heal people on the outside, but what's really important is healing the heart that is sick, the heart that is dead, the heart that is far away from God. That is why Jesus came. He came to heal a sick and dead heart. And in order to show that he has the power to heal our hearts, he then went on and healed this man. When he said, "Your sins are forgiven," some of the people thought, "Oh, he cannot say that. He cannot forgive sins. Men cannot forgive sins. Only God can forgive sin." But Jesus was showing that he is God. He has the authority to forgive sins because he is God who came to live on this earth as a man. And here we see that. He forgave this man's sins, And to show everyone that he really had the authority to do that, he then healed the man. The man was sick, he could not walk, but now he could. In the same way, the man's heart was sick with sin, but Jesus forgave him. And the physical healing on the outside, healing his body, was a sign to everyone of what Jesus could do on our inside. What about you? Is your heart still sick with sin? Jesus can heal it. Jesus can forgive, and only Jesus can. It's interesting that the very next story also deals with this. In the next story, Jesus goes and calls Levi, a tax collector, and says, "Follow me." Then he goes and eats with the tax collector and his friends, many sinners. Why is this considered so bad? Well, understanding the culture is important here, that the tax collectors were often considered to be criminals, because many times what they did was they would find out from the government how much money people owed. And so let's say the government says, "Okay, these people must pay $10 in tax." Well, the tax collector would go and they would say, "Oh, you must pay $25 in tax." Well, the people had to pay it. And the tax collector would then give 10 to the government and keep part for himself. And so everyone knew this was happening, but they couldn't do anything about it. And so the tax collectors were considered to be very bad people. They were just crooks stealing money from people, claiming that they were having to pay it as tax. So when Jesus spends time with them, other people are upset. Why is he spending time with these people who are criminals, who are stealing money from us? Why is he spending time with them? Is that who he is? Is he also a liar and a criminal? But Jesus says, "No, I came for the sick. I came for those who need saving. I came for those who have sin and need to come back to God." You don't call a doctor for someone who is not sick. In the same way, Jesus came for those who sin. He cares about those who sin. He is not pushing them away. Instead, he spends time with them and loves them, not because he likes what they do, but because he cares about them and wants them to find a better way. He wants them to come back to God, and he does that through love. We also need to show love to those who do wrong things. We cannot hate them and push them away, but instead love them and bring them back to God. That is what he calls us to do. Next, we see Jesus being questioned about fasting, about when he doesn't eat. And he says, "My disciples will do that. But right now, while I am here, that it's not the time for them to do that." He has a new thing going on, something different. Finally, we see on a Sabbath day. This was a special day when people did not work. God tells us to keep the Sabbath. Once a week, we have a day of rest where we do not work. Well, the Pharisees, the leaders, had decided that many, many, many things were work, and they had added on to what God said, saying, "Oh, you cannot do this because this is work. You cannot do this." So much so that when the disciples were walking and reached out and picked something off of the plants to eat, the Pharisees said, "Oh, they are working." That was not work. They were simply getting something to eat. But the Pharisees were so strict in what they said that they did not understand. They added new things to what God had said. And Jesus said, "No, no, that is not what the Sabbath day is about." And so Jesus said that now he is saying something different, that people do not have to be burdened and controlled by lots and lots and lots of rules. Yes, there are things that are right and wrong, but the Pharisees and the teachers of his day had made things so difficult for the people. And so he was saying, "No, that is not what God wants. God wants us to live a life of love, and on the Sabbath, to rest. It doesn't mean that we are so controlled that we can't even go pick up something to eat, but instead to have that day to rest and honor and worship Him." All right, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would be with us today. God, I pray that you would move us to bring our friends to you, like the men brought the paralyzed man. Lord, I pray that as we have sin in our hearts, that we would come to you, and that you would forgive us, and clean us, and make us right with you. Change our lives like you changed the lives of so many people. Lord, we want to be like you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.